Talking Finance with Brian Hirsch, making sense of your finance.
Whew, welcome to the second hour. It's never boring here, never a dull day here. Welcome to the second hour of the Talking Point here on SAFM. It's Brian who's giggling in the background there. thanks very much for your voice notes. We are leading the conversation. Join whenever you want on 086-000-2032, 086-000-2032, the SMS line 41391. 41391, though, will come to you at 1 rand 50. The WhatsApp line 061-410-4107, 061-410-4107. We're on X. We are at SAFM Radio and hashtag SAFM Talking Point. Long time no see. This morning, Brian is here, Brian Hirsch, and he's here to discuss why working South Africans should be concerned with equity markets moving up and down. And it's him, I said, long time no see. Long time no see.
Yup, KG, good to see you. Good to see you got your coffee in front of you. You're now energized for the next 2 hours. Yeah, you know, it's all about energy. And I'm just going to repeat, listeners have heard this comment. I mentioned it to you earlier on. There's a beautiful cartoon going around, which I love. It comes out of my diary every Monday.
Yes.
It's the first piece of paper I see when I walk into my office. It's Snoopy and Charlie Brown.
Yes.
And Charlie Brown.
I love Snoopy and Charlie Brown,
and
by
Charlie
the way.
And Charlie Brown says to Snoopy, "You only live once."
Mm-hmm.
And most people, when I say that, they say, yes, that's correct. Well, Snoopy says it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You only die once.
Mm-hmm.
You live every day.
I love that.
And it's how we live every day. So as you say, no dull days, no dull days in markets, no dull days politically. And I have to laugh when you made the comment that you can't wait for the elections to be over to have some sleep.
Sure.
And I'm saying to you, KG,
no sleep after.
KG, afterwards, I don't think we can have any sleep. There's really going to be no dull days.
Listen, no dull day in this country. So when we talk about equity markets, what are they, first and foremost, for context?
Okay, so let's understand, because asset allocation is how you divide your assets between different asset classes. It could be equities, it could be property, it could be money market, which includes bank accounts, it could be gilts, which includes government bonds. That's where one puts one's money. The important thing about diversification is not putting all your eggs in one basket. And that's many of the buzzword statements one hears. But the one area that people don't realize is what we call equity diversification. And that's not having all your equities in one basket. I have people who come to see me who've got 7 different unit trusts thinking they're invested differently. And every one of those unit trusts are invested in equities, which is listed stocks and shares.
Mm-hmm.
The companies we know, the Pick and Pays, the Standard Banks, the ShopRites, all the companies that are public companies who have raised money from the public in order to grow their businesses, and the public are now invested in it. But the question is, why should we care about how equities perform? So let's firstly unpack the difference between a trader and an investor.
Mm-hmm.
A trader who is buying shares today, hoping they go up tomorrow or next week or the month after, and hopes to sell at a profit. There are people who sell shares today, hoping the share goes down, and buys back the share to make a profit. That's a trader. And I don't talk, when I talk on our program about financial planning, estate tax, retirement, I don't talk about traders. Because traders are short-term, there are many who make money, but I can tell you, there are many, many more who lose money. I'll give you a perfect example. People were trading Bitcoin 2 years ago when Bitcoin was over 60,000. And within 2 years, Bitcoin was down at 15,000.
Mm.
It's now back at 70,000.
15,000.
15.
Yeah.
It's now back at something close to 70,000.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was off a little bit last night.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to say, that's traders. People who invest for long term need to find companies that are solid. Now, finding companies as an individual is very difficult because you need to do research. You need to understand what's behind the company, what the profits the companies are making, what are they doing with their profits, what industry are they in, how are they expanding their industry, are they cobbling on businesses to try and make more money, or are they using that money to expand the businesses they know? And that's where portfolio managers come in. They're well trained, they're educated, they spend hours and hours assessing a company's balance sheet. But for the individual, they don't have that opportunity. But why should people that we talk on the phone be concerned if equities go up or go down? So let me first make the comment. If you're invested long-term, equities will go up and equities will go down. But over a long period of time, you will get absolute growth going forward. But understand, if you're a member, if you contribute to a pension fund, so you say, I'm contributing to ABC Company Pension Fund, I'm putting so much away. Of that money that's being invested for you, anything between 50 to 65% is being invested in equities. So KG, if you're on an SABC pension fund, then that is being invested for you. So the long-term the long-term development and growth of an equity has a very big bearing. If you're contributing to a retirement annuity, again, anything between 40 to 60% will be invested in equities. If you've got an endowment policy with an insurance company, whether it be Liberty or Stan or Momentum or Sanlam or Old Mutual, part of that money is invested in equities. And then you may have direct shares, which you would know is in equities. So everyone, somewhere along the line, your pension money, your endowment money, your retirement money is all going into equities. And that's why when you hear our report at the end of today, well, I mean, at 10:30 this morning, you'll hear the equity markets are up or down. International equity markets were down last night, so I have no doubt about it. We're going to hear two comments when you read the report in 10:30. We're going to hear that equities are down, global equities are down, and the oil price, the rand is weakened. So in the short term, it means absolutely nothing because you're not invested for the day. Short-term traders are. They're investing for the day. They want to make money regularly. But for all investors, whether it be, as I said, in any of those components, you do have equities. Not that you need to worry, because as long as you've got a long-term time horizon. And what do I call about long-term time horizon? Let me just talk about medium, short, medium, and long-term. Short-term is money that you need in the next 1 to 3 years. You're not going to take any risk. You're not going to put into equity markets. Don't try and trade the market. Put it in the bank, you're getting good rates of return, 1 to 3 year money. 4 to 7 year money, you can be in a balanced portfolio where you have equities, you have some property, you have some gilts, and you have some cash. 7 years onwards, particularly if it's going to retirement, you're going to be much more involved in equities to the maximum that you can be, because there are limitations in terms of retirement funds, and that's what your portfolio. So diversification of asset class between cash, bonds, property and equity, but growth comes from property and equity. Doesn't come from cash, and there are times that growth does come from government bonds, but it's not it's a trading instrument. It's not an investing instrument. The growth investments are going to be property and equities, and it's going to be global. It's not only going to be South African equities, it's going to be worldwide equities with companies that we don't have here at the cutting edge. The Apples, the Amazons, the Teslas, the Alphabets, the Louis Vuittons, the Ferraris, the Visa card, the MasterCard, Eli Lilly, which is now all these latest drugs to help people lose weight. We don't have those companies in South Africa. That's why you want a global exposure.
Okay, so you did explain long-term, hey?
Well, I said long-term, 7 years onwards, you want to be much more growth-orientated. And yes, So many people make mistakes. If you're a 65-year-old and you've got money falling due, mm-hmm, it's not only the next 5 years you need to worry about.
Yeah.
It's the years of the 70s, and what about the years of the 80s? I mean, people are living that much longer. You know,
I went to see Abdullah Ibrahim, who turns 90 the other day.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So think about it. When he retired at 65, he never believed he was going to live 25 years. Mm. So can you imagine if he had only been invested in money market funds conservatively all these years? Inflation, the one place he would have lost.
Mm.
Wouldn't have been the markets. He would have lost because of inflation, because interest rates earned after tax will not beat inflation over the long term. Maybe they're beating inflation at the moment because interest rates are high. So you've got to be thinking, what do I need for the next 5 years? What is my asset allocation going to be? Then the next 10 years being 70 to 80. And if I'm still alive, 80 to 90. KG, I had 3 clients in 2022 mm-hmm. who turned 100.
Really?
All three,
they eat well.
All three turned 101 in 2023. And unfortunately, all three died. My oldest client at the moment will be 102 in November. Now, think back. When she retired at age 60, that means she's been alive 40 years longer than when she started work. So she never saved enough. Fortunately, the investments have done well and she's managing. So what I need to say is even the elderly, even those of you, you can't just put your money in the bank and just hope for the best, because interest rates are high today. But I can tell you right now, in 2 years' time, interest rates will be a lot further down. Well, we hope they will, because if they don't, we're all going to be struggling with inflation and higher prices and lower earnings. So those are the things that you need to be thinking about. So even if you're a 65 or 75-year-old, you need to be talking to someone who can have a look and assess, not about tomorrow, but if you're alive 5, 10 years' time.
But then what do you say to those that say, oh my goodness, the economy is bad. There's a lot of things I have to let go of. I'm struggling. There's lots of cutting and pasting I have to do. The things I could easily do a mere 10 years ago with what I earn, I can't do anymore. So I have to let go of some things.
It's a real difficult situation with inflation.
Should they get you water?
I've got water. Can we take a break for a second?
While okay. Can we take cough? A Brian so that a break for Brian, Brian for break. Can we take a break for Brian? Welcome back. It's 10:22. It's Tuesday. We're discussing why working South Africans should be concerned with equity markets moving up and down today. And we're talking this with Brian Hirsch. He's fine. Thank you so much for your concerns. You're okay?
I'm absolutely fine and so energized.
They thought I had done something to you.
KG, you are aware that Eskom wanted to buy some of my body energy. But they wanted 120 days
you
payment.
You missed your true calling in life. You should have been a comedian, Trevor Noah.
I'm telling you, I wasn't prepared to let them buy it. And then when they told me where they want to put the cable, that was the end of the deal completely. But that's my. So I'm sorry if I'm talking so quickly this morning. I'm certainly energized. My poor PA, when I dictate to her, she says, can't you slow down?
It's that Charlie Brown thing that you said earlier.
No,
living every day.
No, yeah, but I say to her, not can I slow down, can't you go faster? But coming back to your question is where you say people are cutting back. Mm. You know, there's nothing more important than your budget.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you earning net after tax? What is your annual expenses? First, your monthly expenses, what we call your standing charges, your insurances, your rental, motor, all the things that you know you're going to pay every month. Then you've got to have a little budget for extras, because there are always extras. My wife particularly always gives me 2 pages. This is what I spent. And I say, oh, that doesn't look too bad. And then when I turn over the page and I see all the extras, then she runs away.
Extras are at the back of the page.
Yeah, always at the back, always at the back, and always stapled hard, so I can't really see them straight away.
Yeah.
But people are struggling, and people need to relook at their budget. One of the areas people need to look at and they need to understand is one of the costs that are going to keep increasing is medical aid.
Mm.
And you need to understand your medical program. I did a program last night on television on my program, You and Your Money, and I spoke about medical aid and the ongoing costs. I mean, medical aids are increasing by 3 to 4% a year above inflation.
Mm.
But let me say that to you. That's the one side. What many members don't know, that on the other side, the co-payments are a lot higher, and there may even be limits on what the medical aid is going to pay for a year. So you need to understand your medical aid. You need to understand the importance of having proper health care. And then you need to look at all your other expenses, your insurance. You know, it's nice to have insurance, but you may not need to have it. Your motor insurance, are you taking excesses? Are you insuring your rings and things on your householders, on your all-risk policy?
Mm.
How much are you spending on your cell phone and technology? What else can you do? Are you making use of loyalty programs? So putting together a budget is a much bigger plan than just putting numbers down. It's assessing each item, what you can do, how can you eke out a little bit more. Prior to retirement, how can you eke out a bit more to firstly enjoy life, because that's what life's about. Life's about living. And also, secondly, what can I put away extra for my retirement days? And when you're in retirement, what can I do? A lot of people are asset-rich, income poor. I mean, I met a client phone me yesterday. She really is income poor. She's got a property in Cape Town, Dockside. The property is worth about 2 million rand. She gets 15,000 rand a month rent. That doesn't sound too bad. But by the time she's paid all the expenses, she's left with 7,000 rand.
Wow.
If she invested that 2 million, and she doesn't have a tax problem, and I was saying last week, a 5-year government retail bond is paying 11.25%. So if she invested that 2 million rand into a government retail bond, she'll get 18,000 rand a month with no expenses. There'll be a little bit of tax, and she's obviously not going to hedge against inflation. But compared to the 7,000 rand she's living on, she's what I call asset-rich income, so income poor.
So what advice did you give her? Did you tell her to sell?
Told her to sell the property. It's already...
Because 7,000 rands is, you know, a lot of people struggle on that on a monthly basis.
7,000 rand on a 2 million rand property. Mm. It's giving her something like a 4.2% return.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes you've got to look at your asset class and you've got to say, I have to downsize. And let me make one comment about downsizing. Mm. There are three boxes you need to tick. Mm-hmm. Two of those are financial boxes. One, will I come out with money from selling my property and replacing my property? And that means replacing my property and maybe having to do a few things to it. Two, will I save money monthly? And third is a more subjective, will I be happy? Because you need to be happy. And let me also say this to so many people.
I like that. I like, will you be happy? Because that's also an important question to ask.
Well, in your later years, you've got to be happy. Mm. And let me make this comment to anyone who's thinking of doing that. When you move into a smaller home, don't take all your furniture. You will move into the home, you'll be claustrophobic and you'll be very unhappy. Rather take less. You can always bring a little bit of your other stuff first, so that when you move into your home, you have space. Because so many people that I've looked after over the years started off feeling very claustrophobic.
Mm.
Go the other way. If you're going to downsize, rather plan it with your kids. What do I need to take? What's essential? And what can I add from my home rather than just take everything and try and fit the dining room table, the lounge suites in and everything, and the cupboards.
And the fancy chair.
Yeah, and the fancy chair. You've got to start thinking about those things.
Mm.
So people need to look at, when you said to me, I spoke about, why should you be concerned? I'm not saying you should be concerned about equities, but you should be aware. Rather, the world should be aware that you do have equities in your portfolio, and over a long period of time, your equity portfolio will outperform cash. But you also need to, the biggest part of a financial plan is that starting budget. What is your budget?
And on a monthly basis.
That's if you're retired. And no, monthly basis to start with, and then you've got to add some provision and contingency for things that happen in the course of the year. We've got school fees you may be paying yearly. You've got holidays. You may have gifts. There may be repairs. There may be all things that you need to do.
Is that the things you call extra, that those, you say your wife writes at the back of the list?
Those are the things. Yeah, we have the electrician. Uh-huh. We have this. I've had to buy this. I had a service on my car. All things like that. And I sometimes don't even want to look at the back of the list.
Tell me why you say, when you talk to your clients, you say the one thing that will never, you know, that is a major cost factor is medical aid. Why don't you say, for example, electricity, especially in a country like ours? Why don't you say food, for example?
Because those are factors that you have some control over. You may be buying a slightly more expensive food. You may decide, I can go a little bit down. I can eat. I don't have to eat so much meat. I'm not being flippant about it. I'm saying you're in control. You're in no control when it comes to medical aid. You either pay. You and I can be as sickly as anything. You can be as healthy as anything.
Mm-hmm.
I have one child. You have more than one child.
I'm not talking about myself. Go on, talk about you.
I'm just using an example.
Yes.
I'm just using an example. But we pay the exact same for medical aid.
Yeah.
However healthy, you subsidize my medical aid. Mm-hmm. That's the point I'm making. So all I'm saying is you've got no control over it. And as you get older, your need for healthcare is more.
Mm.
So you need to talk, and I've said this time and time again, not a financial advisor. You need to talk to a healthcare consultant.
Mm.
You can examine everything that you're doing in your healthcare program, from your disability insurance, from your top-up, your gap insurance, from your dreaded disease insurance, from your medical aid. It's a whole program. Talk to a healthcare broker. They get paid. Your medical aid's got a commission built into it to pay the broker. If you're not using a broker, it's your fault. You can get advice and have a look, because that's the one expense that I can tell you right now, in the next 8 years, will double again.
It's Charlie's fault for telling us to live.
Now, whatever you're paying today, you'll pay double in 8 years' time.
And Charlie says we must continue living. Hold that thought. I have to go. Oh, Snoopy said,
yes,
we must go. Okay. I like Charlie. It's 10:30. It's time for the news headlines. A barrel.
Conversations that you connect with and react to. SAFM.
10:31 on SAFM. It's Tuesday. It's Personal Finance Tuesday with Brian Hirsch, and we're discussing why working South Africans should be concerned with equity markets moving up and down. And Brian Hirsch is in the studio. And, you know, again, the consideration sometimes for a lot of working South Africans. I mean, we spent all morning talking about, for example, the issue of unemployment. The ones that get unemployed also have, if they have equities, what happens? What happens? What should they consider letting go of first?
Well, again,
because we have to consider them. Absolutely. They exist in a country like ours.
So let me just comment on what you read. You read this information, financial markets, every day. Now, there were three components on that one. One was the oil price,
mm-hmm.
It's over $90 a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Two was the rand at over 19 rand to the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Oil price is priced in dollars. So I can tell you right now, we're going to get it, with this current situation, going to get a petrol increase in May.
Didn't we just get another one the other day?
Going to get another one in May. Then you spoke also about markets being down. Now, for traders, that's quite important, because if you bought a share yesterday hoping that it would go up, you've probably gone down today. But as an investor, if you've got a pension fund or provident fund, you've got equities. Your institution, sometimes when equities come down, take advantage of buying more of those equities at lower prices. Mm. So that's why, but you need to understand why, a little bit about why you're in equities. But then you talk about the unemployed.
Mm.
Very big problem. Now, the first advantage, if you are now retrenched, or you're losing your job, there are payments, retrenchment payments, there's leave payments. That's money you're going to need. You need to then assess going forward, if you one of the unfortunate who recently lost your job,
mm.
what do you do? How do you make ends meet during the time that you're unemployed? You've got also UIF you need to take into account. And you need to think that for the next year, I want certainty and security. I can't afford to be in the equity market.
Especially considering also that you might not even be able to predict how long you'll be unemployed for.
So that's why you've got to plan for a year or two while you look for work. That doesn't mean you stop looking for work. You carry on looking for work all the time. And what is important is to then, you don't want risk, and you may have to downsize your equities in your different investments to something. And today you can get 8-9% from a bank. You can get 10% from a 3-year government retail bond. Those are phenomenal returns. And remember, it's not the gross return. If I say to you, you know, in a government retail bond for 5 years, you can get 11.25%. That's a phenomenal return. However, it's taxable. So if you're paying tax, you've got to work out, what will my after-tax return be? Because if you've got money in the bank at 8%, you're also paying tax.
Mm.
And if you're not paying tax, it's a wonderful way of housing money for the long term. And as I said before, would I be happy to put my late mother's money in there for her? I'd absolutely be thrilled at 11.25%. And a lot of people who have retired and got living annuities, where they're now drawing an income, should consider actually moving from maybe some equity into some bonds to give them this high rates of return. Because when interest rates come down, not only are you getting the high rate of interest, you'll make some capital appreciation. But you need to understand, within these portfolios, it doesn't matter if it's up or down. What it means is stick to your knitting, stick to your strategy. But for those unemployed and as you know, we've got the two-pot system coming in on the 1st September.
Oh, yes, there's that.
Where people will be able to access some funds from their retirement funds. Quick answer on that one, KG. It's actually three pots. It's the first pot, which deals with all the money that you've paid into your retirement funds, pension or provident funds, up to the 31st of August. Then there's the future contribution.
The 31st of August this year. Yeah.
Now, you will be able to access 10% of that fund with a maximum of 30,000 rand as a one-off payment. That will come in on the 1st of September. And then going forward, your future contributions will be divided into two pots. There'll be the retirement pot and the savings pot. The retirement pot, two-thirds of your contribution will go into that section. One-third will go into the savings pot. And on a yearly basis, you will be able to access some of that one-third with a minimum of 2,000 rand at any one stage going forward. I'll talk more about the two-pot system as we get closer to the time. So for unemployed people who may have retirement annuities they can't draw on, maybe come September there'll be some opportunity there to access some funds. But again, difficult situation because, as you say, transport and food are the two main reasons they don't have medical aid and the main two reasons for the rising in costs. And that is not 5.6%, which is our inflation. That's closer to anything between 6 and 7%.
If you have a question for Brian, by the way, you can call on 086-000-2032, 086-000-2032, and you can also send a WhatsApp. Do we have, do I see? No, we don't have a WhatsApp. You can send a WhatsApp on the number 061-410-4107, 061-410-4107. Staying with those unemployed ones that we spoke about just a short while ago, when they have to consider, what is the first thing to you that you always recommend they can let go of?
Well, the first
if
thing,
they're forced to consider.
Okay, let me say this to you. The first thing you need to do is if you're unemployed and you have any debt, you need to speak to the people that you owe money to. Let them know your situation so that they've got a note on their file without
saying... Don't go quiet.
Sorry?
Don't go quiet.
Don't go quiet because they will. You will get letters of demand.
Sure.
You and all these things that can only more put pressure. Talk to them. Let them know. Tell them what you're doing. Tell them to put you on freeze for a few months and you'll come back to them. And then go back to them. Don't think you can't. You need to do that because you don't want to be badgered by people you owe money to. That's the first thing.
Mm.
Then the second thing you need to do is in your budget to say, what can I let go of? What is nice to have and what is essential to have?
Mm.
And you really need to look at them. I mean, you know, if you think about people, even people who stand on the corners asking for money have got a cell phone.
Have got a?
Cell phone.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's amazing. We've all got cell
phones. Everybody's got a cell
phone. Everyone's got a cell phone. So you need to look carefully at what your technology and what your cell phone's doing. You need to understand what your family requirements
are. But it's almost like a basic life requirement now, a cell phone, is it not?
Yes, but a life requirement is one thing. How much you spend on it is another thing. You need to look at that. Then if you owe school fees, go back to the school. Don't just leave it. You need to share with your school your situation. Yes, you know, it may be, you may feel awkward, you may feel embarrassed. Don't, because you're not alone. You're not alone.
Yeah, people are embarrassed.
We've got too many people. Then you need to look at what are the essentials. And the first essential, obviously, is your family welfare, which does take into account where you're living and the rent you're paying. And you may need to talk to your landlord or your bondholder, and then the food requirements. And then to get to go and look for work, you need to have money for transport.
Yes.
You can't just sit at home and say, well, I can't go and get a job because I don't have any money. So those are the essential items, roof over your head, food, and enough money to go and find a job.
Yes.
Because you need, so many people are here. I mean, people phone me on radio and I say, well, you've got a problem, come and see me. And they say, I can't get you. Got no money. So
we're living in tough times.
We are living in tough times, and I'm not minimizing it. Those who have a job, we're fortunate. Those who are more affluent, wonderful way of life. But we've got to think of the many, many people unemployed. And we hear government talking all the time about their concern about unemployment. The government grant of 350 Rand, which is 11 Rand a day. I mean, these are numbers
that's not even a loaf of bread.
A loaf of bread, what, 16 Rand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not even a loaf of bread a day. Mm. I mean, really. So, you know, and there's a lot of talk now by different political parties what they're going to do if they come into power. You know, it's easy to talk prior to coming into power. It's what you do. And if you look at the rest of the world, when you look at the UK and other parts of the world, they also struggle. They also talk. Their political manifesto sounds good. But when they actually come in, they've got to actually deliver. Not easy to deliver, because where do you get your money from? You get your money
Absolutely.
From the taxpayer.
Absolutely. So 086-000-2032, you've got your headphones on because William from Velcom, how much must you earn to be able to invest? William is asking. Hi, William.
Yes, I just want to know, an ordinary layman who is not working, who is not working, how much must he learn in the end pension before he can pay tax? An ordinary person.
Well, William, when you say an ordinary person, what you're saying is, firstly, an ordinary person who's not working, Where are you not working?
Not working, my brother. I'm a pensioner.
Okay, so you're getting a pension.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you've got to evaluate your pension income that you're receiving against what you're spending. And you, as a pensioner, you're not going to be investing, because it's madness to be drawing from one source and investing, rather just draw less. So I'll give you a perfect example. Let's assume you're getting a pension of 10,000 Rand a month and you've got 2,000 Rand left over to invest. Well, if you draw from your pension, maybe you should reduce your pension to 8,000 and let the 2,000 stay in your pension fund to grow for you, and then just draw the 8,000 and spend the 8,000. You can always increase your pension fund maybe on a year-to-year basis. So everyone's circumstances are different. But for people who want to invest, let's talk about people who are not in retirement. People who want to invest, once they've done their budget, once they've done their calculations, anything they've got is a surplus that they've got to say, we can set aside for longer term, as I said, short term being the next 1 to 3 years, medium and long term being retirement, they can do their numbers. A lot easier for someone who's working than someone who's not working, although so many people working today are spending more on their needs and their essential needs than what they actually earn. And that will only put you into more debt.
Yeah. I hope you're...
Sorry, man. Because... As I'm talking to you now, the prices have skyrocketed more than what you used to earn. Now, that's why I'm asking, is it possible to pay pension a person who is not working, and while the prices for food is skyrocketing? I don't know what's the problem.
Well, William, where are you getting your money from to live on every month?
In the government.
Okay. And are you getting more than you need?
No, I'm not getting more than I need.
Are you getting less than you need?
Yeah.
So that so when you talk about where can you invest, in your particular case and for so many other people, you can't invest because you're already over what you're spending more than you've got. So you need to look at your budget very carefully. I know it's easier said than done, because it is very, very difficult to cut back in a lot of areas. You need to see what else you can do. Have you got any other investments other than your pension?
No
savings.
Yeah.
Difficult situation, William. I don't have a magic wand and I don't have an answer for you. But using your question, just to give other listeners who may be slightly better off and have a little bit more, if you've got a little bit more than what your pension is or what you need, just reinvest that. And today you can invest it in money market accounts. You're getting 8-9%. That's quite adequate. You're beating inflation. And if you're not paying tax very much, then that's even better. But if you're spending more than what you're actually earning, you're on a downward spiral. It's not going to stop. It's going to get worse and worse and worse, because, as I said, we talk about statistical inflation, CPI. We say all the prices are rising by 5.6. Yet pension inflation, particularly someone with a medical aid and food and transport, medical aids are going up at 9-10% a year, and food's going up at 8 or 9%, and rates and taxes and things like that. But, William, all I can say is, if you don't have extra, you've got to look very carefully at your budget. But you've got nowhere, unfortunately, to invest, because you don't
but
have
any. But the sad reality of being South African is there's a lot of Williams, hey? There's a lot of Williams.
A lot of Williams. And here, Williams getting a pension. What about the people who are unemployed and can't find jobs, and they're getting a 350 Rand grant?
Yeah, there's a lot of Williams. All the best, William.
God bless you, Sister Gigi and Mr. Brian.
Thanks, William.
Thank you, William. Salumane in Jubiton. Hi, Salumane.
Hey, Dumela. Sorry, Brian. You know, I just feel like sometimes, like in South Africa, there's a contradiction where we are encouraged to save, but at the same time, it feels like I've been double taxed. For example, if I'm earning 20,000 Rand and I've got minimal expenses, I'm saving 10K a month. In the long run, okay, 20K, I get taxed and I'm able to save whatever 10K. In the long run, while saving that money, I gain interest. But you still tax me on the same money that you had taxed me before. Now I'm gaining interest. but now you are taxing me again on the same money that I've put away. Similar to buying a property, I get a property for a rental, but you still expect me to pay tax on the rental, even though I'm paying a bond. So I feel like in South Africa, it feels like you are being double taxed somehow.
Yeah. And by the way, and Salome, you haven't mentioned one thing. You get your money, and when you go and buy something, you pay VAT.
I don't even want to talk
You don't
about
even want to mention that one. But Salome, let me just first mention, globally, it's no different anywhere else in the world. This is not a South African problem. This is a worldwide problem. When you get your money and you invest it, you pay tax. You know, they say the only thing two certain things in life are taxes and death. Yes. However, let's understand.
And change, three.
Yeah, and time, four. Yeah. A minute is a minute. But let's just come back, Salome. There are investments you can make where you don't pay tax. South Africans are allowed to invest 36,000 Rand a year into tax-free savings. Now, there, within the tax-free savings, there is no tax. There's no tax on interest. There's no capital gains tax. There's no tax on dividends. So you are getting the benefit of the up to 36. But you said, I want to save 10,000 Rand a month, which is a lot more than 3,000 Rand a month. So you've got that problem of how do I place it? Yes. And you've always got to look at what I can invest in after tax, not before tax. You know, banks are paying today 8-9% over a year. If you get I said government bonds are paying 11.25. If you invest for 5 years, you're going to pay tax. So you need to always look at the net after tax. Yeah, it's a fact of life and it's a fact of the world. You're going to pay tax on interest. You're going to pay tax on capital gains, as you spoke about it. If you buy investment property, as you know, your own property, your residential property, you get the first 2 million rands worth of gain without paying tax. And also on a yearly basis, you also get a rebate of 40,000 Rand a year of capital gains tax. So you need to plan all your investments around what can I get in terms of what returns can I get and where does tax saving come in. It's not just about up and down. There are different things you need to be looking at to see how can I minimize my tax, which is, you know, we think about the words tax avoidance and tax evasion. Well, just to put you in the picture, the biggest gangster in America in the 1930s was Al Capone. He was involved in killing, murders, prostitution, drugs, and he went to jail for tax evasion. So tax evasion is against the law. Tax avoidance is making use of all the tax concessions allowed by revenue. You need to sit with a financial advisor and see how you can minimize your tax within your investment strategy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All the best, Salumane.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nicholas in Mpumalanga, when buying a car, all the things they charge us for. Hi, Nicholas. Did you just buy a car? Congratulations. Lucky you.
No, not yet.
Okay.
I just want to find out the fees and all those things that I add. What things that I must just take care of if they just add there, I must tell them not to add.
As in, what can you escape paying for?
Well,
Nicholas, you need to firstly ask them to look at different investment houses. Are you a man who's got assets who can get credit from a bank?
Yeah, no, me, I only pay my bond.
Okay, and have you got earnings that can satisfy your own bank if you wanted to get an overdraft?
Yes, I've got enough.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to pay cash.
Okay, no. Now, I'm asking the question because the first thing you do when you buy a car or you take anything on terms is what interest rates are they going to charge me? And just as a reminder, I looked only yesterday, Discovery, if you've got a Discovery card and you don't pay your Discovery card in full, you are paying 22% interest. In other words, if you owe 10,000 on your Discovery card and you pay only 5,000, you're going to pay interest on 22% on the full amount you've spent. So, and I didn't look at the other banks, so I'm sure they're very similar. I'm just mentioning the one yesterday because I looked at it. So you need to maybe find out from the dealer who you're buying the car from what is the interest they're going to charge you on the finance charge, and you need to speak to your own bank and you need to speak to other banks and find out what will you get, because you can get a lower rate of interest, and also you want to know that the interest rate will fluctuate as interest rates come down. You don't want a fixed interest rate, so you need a fluctuating.
It's true.
Sorry?
I'm saying it's true.
Yeah. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you've got to insure the car. So you need to look around and see, can I do better than what I'm being offered by the dealer? The third thing they may be asking you is they want to add what they call credit life insurance, which is life insurance attached if you die, that the car gets paid off. You may not need it. You may have other life insurance, and you may have sufficient life insurance to cover your family in any debt. So you need to take that into account. And then you need to see what other charges they're charging and why they're charging. I can't remember all the charges that one does under an HP, but you need to clearly understand what the charges are and what those charges are, because a lot of them make money out of those over and above what they're making out of the sale of a car.
I suppose that's what they mean when they say terms and conditions
terms
apply.
Terms and conditions apply.
Yes. Yeah. All the best, Nicholas, with your new ride. Theo in Benoni Investments. Hi, Theo.
Morning,
Kathy,
and morning, Brian.
Morning, Theo.
Yes, yes. I heard even the previous caller mentioning that they are getting less than what the expenses are on a monthly. The one who mentioned that they are receiving grants. So, and even if you mentioned that, unfortunately, most people are like that. So I wanted to ask, then what's the way forward? Because we are all aware about the circumstances in our country and the direction that it's taking. Like the rich are now the middle class are now the poor. And unfortunately,
the middle class are not rich. They're one paycheck away from it all just crumbling.
Yes, I was just saying that it went backwards. Like from rich, now they are middle class, and the previous middle class are now the poor. Like we are going in the opposite direction. So unfortunately, there's another element of crime, unfortunately, because people now need to survive. So I wanted to ask, would it be maybe advisable if maybe, let's say, an engineer would maybe apply for those developed countries and maybe relocate, looking at our prospects of the country and unemployment rate and all those. I don't even have to go into detail. Because I understand we might have challenges worldwide, but it is important to have like hope and look at maybe our 10-year plan, 20-year plan, which is in a direction of fixing the country. So when we don't have that, will it be advisable? Just because for me, I'm in my mid-30s, so whatever decisions I make, I'm looking at for the key. So I've been thinking a lot about relocating and maybe just making sure that the young ones just have a chance and better opportunities and all those. Mm. It's not an easy thing because, you know, we are from here, this is our home and everything. But looking at the decision should be for the young ones. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Tough question that. Well, thanks, Theo.
Well, Theo, let me say this to you. If you think you think the rich in South Africa are rich, let them go over with their money to the UK, the US, Australia, Europe. Let them go over. The rich here are poor overseas. The pound at 24 to 1. If you think about it, if you've got 2 million rand, you don't even have 70,000 pounds. It sounds ridiculous. 80,000 pounds. And anyone in America who is poor but's got a property can come and live in South Africa as a rich person. So firstly, thinking about relocating is a different story. There aren't the jobs waiting for the many South Africans who may want to go. All you make the valid comment, and if you think about salary increases, you know, if you're working and you get a salary increase of 5 or 6%, the first thing that comes out of that, firstly, if you're working for a company, part of that goes to your pension fund for the long term. Then comes the tax, and if you get a 5 or 6% increase, you may be lucky to get 3.5 to 4% after tax. And then you've got inflation running at 5 to 6%. So we're going backwards all the time. You're absolutely right, Theo. We're going backwards, and it's a difficult one. And that's why I'm saying, you need to be so disciplined about spending money on lifestyle assets that you need and not lifestyle assets that you want. And yes, I did say life's about living, and I did make I did comment about
Charlie and Snoopy.
But you're absolutely right. The many people in this country are struggling,
yeah.
and it won't get better. And let me say this to you: the amount of money that has been wasted in this country over the last 10 years, the amount of money that's been wasted. If I just look at the court cases that go on and all the money spent, I mean, we spent in excess of R1 billion on the case, taking it to the International Court of the International Justice Court. I'm just saying, and the amount of money that's been stolen, if that money could have been used internally.
Okay.
So let's hope that the new government, whoever it may be, they understand very simply one thing, only one thing. We need to make sure that the money that we've got in South Africa is working for South Africans.
Okay. I have to read a lot of text in terms of questions to you, and there is very little time. I hope you can note most of them and answer what you can answer. Okay. The first one is, I'm almost 50 and I contribute to pension and have an investment with the bank. What else should I be doing, right? It's a question from Sean. And then another one. Can I please find out from your guest, what is a government bond investment? He spoke about it when advising that Cape Town client. Another one. Good morning. I've been an e-hailing driver for the past few years. When it comes to filing my tax returns, firstly, I'm not sure if I fall under unemployment. Bolt has a weekly payout from all the card payments over a 7-day period from Citibank, whichever one you want to take.
Okay, let's go firstly. Yes, you're contributing to a pension fund. I don't know how long you've been contributing to a pension fund for. If you've got surplus funds, money in banks, again, short-term money should stay in the bank. Long-term money should be invested in growth assets, including equities and property, balanced portfolios. Talk to a financial advisor if you've got a surplus. Yes, you're part of the way, but how long have you contributed to a pension fund? Had you been contributing for 25 years? Government retail bonds is a structure where you're lending the government money, and don't be scared of lending the money, government money, because all over the world we lend, the global countries lend South African government money, and they do all the necessary evaluation. So a government retail bond is where you invest money within a bond at 2, 3, and 5 years. 5 years is 11.25. 2 years is 9.5, 3 years is 10. You can draw monthly income. You've got a guarantee of your capital and you've got a guarantee of the income, and you can draw it monthly. And then lastly, yes, to the driver, yes, you should be rendering a tax return for two reasons. You can claim a lot of your expenses incurred in your business and write that off against income. And so if you're not disclosing the income, you can't write off the expenses. So that's what we call the informal sector, who are also responsible for producing and introducing and doing tax returns.
And if it goes to the bank, the revenue office can see it. They know it's there, right?
Particularly if you're depositing the money in the bank.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it
yeah.
is. It comes through your bank. They,
yeah.
You know, they've got all the information.
Yeah. Listen, it's good to see you.
KG, good to see you. And I shall relax when I listen to your beautiful music on the
there's
weekend.
There's peace there.
Yeah, I shall relax.
Have a great day. Thank you, Brian. It's 11 and Musa standing by with the